2nd, preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 45. And I just want to launch from verse 1. We're going to go through as many as the Spirit will allow this morning, but we want to launch at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1. And you'll find these words. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, God is working on your tomorrows today. God is working on your tomorrows today. My brothers and sisters, this is a word of prophecy. This is, when we look at this chapter and when we understand the text, we'll understand that God himself is ushering a prophetic preference in verse 1 and throughout the text, but especially in verse 1 when he calls Cyrus his anointed. This word that Isaiah received, he received some 200 or so years before Cyrus was even born. Cyrus was not even thought of when God was planning his tomorrows. God used, listen, this pagan king to be able to deliver Israel, bless Israel, and restore Israel. What's interesting is God, some 200 years or so before Cyrus came on the scene, had already chosen him as a pagan king and called him, as a fact, he's the only king in history that God ever called his anointed that was not from his own people. What made him anointed was God's hand, an appointment, an assignment for his life, for God's glory, and for God's people's good. You see, one of the things that God has the privilege of doing is cleaning up for his own glory what otherwise would be messed up. God can use people and things and places and situations and circumstances that would not fit properly in our minds wrapped around our thinking as what is holy. But I read in the Word where God says, do not call unclean what I've called clean. God can take anything and anybody and clean them up for his service, and they become anointed to do what God appoints them to do for the assignment. And one of the things that I think you need to understand again is this is so significant that he again takes a pagan or heathen king to do something that is so monumental for his own people. But it just goes to show you that God is no respecter of persons. You see, sometimes God has to use other folk when you act up to show you you aren't the only ones he can use. Sometime when you won't take your place, be in your place, do what you're supposed to do in your place, he'll take somebody that's not worthy of your place and use them for his glory. Don't ever think you're so big that God's program can't go on without you. Just die and see. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. If you don't think God's program will keep rolling on, just keep living to watch how God will continue to function and flow without you. So listen at this word now, my brothers and sisters, because one of the things that I love about this word is it gives so much encouragement and enlightenment to the believer who understands the deeper message, the present message, the relevant message for the people of God today. Though historically he's going back in time and he's dealing with the chosen people of God, Israel, and he's dealing with a pagan king, the reality is the principles in this context and in this story, many of them are applicable to our lives today. So it's the principles and those things that I want you to catch as we walk through the text. Look again at what he says. Thus saith the Lord. Isaiah is clear about who's speaking here. To his anointed. Then he makes clear who he's speaking to. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. Now, when the word says whose right hand I've holden, he literally means his right hand that I've empowered, I've strengthened, I've given the victory to. All right. Now, notice this now. Whose right hand I have holden. For what purpose? To subdue nations before him. But now keep in mind, though he's empowered him in the earth realm to make it look like he's done it, guess who's really done it? God said, I have holden his hand, right hand, right hand. That's his hand of war and his hand of victory, his hand of power. So God is saying in the earth realm, it looks like Cyrus is doing all this on his own. Let me back one moment and tell you this. Cyrus, at this point in time that God is using him, don't even know God. Yeah, that's good. God, listen, God is using him, but he doesn't know God yet. But God knows his heart. God knows everything. God knows that he will know him, but yet he's surrendering to God's word, God's will, and God's way, and that's good enough for God at this time, because God has certainly purposed him to bless his people, and that, after all, is what the outcome is all about. So listen again. So he says to hold it, he says, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations. And look at what he says. And I will loose the loins of kings. Well, loose the loins of king mean, you know, back in those days, kings wore long robes with great big waist belts, etc. But when they were in war, they would take their robes from the bottom and tuck them up inside their belt like a girdle, and give them freedom of movement for war, to be quick, have the agility. They kind of look like hammer pants. Y'all remember hammer pants? Hammer pants, not pants. That's proper. It's pants. Yeah, that's what they look like. So they could go anywhere they wanted to go. They could run quickly. They were very agile. And that gave them the liberty to be ready for war. But look at what God says. And I will loose the loins of kings, which meant When the king pulled their robe back down, it stopped their freedom of flow, their ease of mobility. And so usually when kings walked around with their robes flowing, it meant a sign of peace or at rest or at comfort or in non-war mode. What he was saying was, I'm going to make them lower their gods so that they don't even know that there's a battle coming on and they won't even be ready for it. Then notice he goes on to say, I'm going to do that to open before him the two-leaved gates. Listen, the two-leaved gates. Now, what's important about the two-leaved gates? The two-leaved gates of Babylon were great big old gates, and the two leaves suggested on that big gate that they were a flourishing nation. Babylon was a powerful nation. They had overcome and overtaken many of the nations around them. As a matter of fact, they were the same people who had become so powerful that they tried to build a tower to heaven. And because they had become so wise and powerful that they thought they had become little gods, that they would reach heaven, God confused their language as they got way up into the heavenlies with their tower. So when you had the carpenters, the masonry folk, all the rest of them, they were asked for one thing and the other person to give them something else till they got so confused, the building program stopped. But they didn't have sense enough to know that was God stopping their progress against him. So Babylon had these two large gates that were so massive. If you've ever seen the movie Jurassic Park, it kind of puts you in the mind of that gate. But though they were larger than the Jurassic Park gates, when you went up there and you looked at those gates, you know, over 100 feet tall, you said, my, who lives behind these gates? And so they protected a very blessed nation. Now God says, I'm going to open those gates. Listen, if God's going to open them, then that means I don't have to open them. All Cyrus had to do was walk on in. But then he makes another interesting statement. He says, and the gates shall not be shut. Kind of goes back in Revelation where it tells you God can open doors that no man can shut. And he can shut doors that no man can open. His word doesn't change. And so what a powerful, powerful word we have. God preferences a pagan king to deliver his children. But listen at this. He's not through. Verse 2 goes on to say, and I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. Listen, I will break in pieces the gates of brass and in sunder the bars of iron. Now, what is he talking about here? He's steadily providing what is called prescribed protection. If God is doing all of this, then what do we need to do? What does Cyrus need to do? Show up and receive the blessings. Sometime God fixes it for you. You're ready to fight. You're ready to do your part. And yet, when God wants all the glory, he does all the fighting for you. And he simply lets you walk into the place. Let me just put it out, you know, in common language and understanding. When God makes a hard thing seem easy, it's because he's already fixed it. when you're expecting a major fight on your hands and you've been up and you've been strategizing how you're going to do this and how you're going to do this and what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, and you get to the situation and find it ain't nothing like you thought it was, I think I need to tell you, he went before you and fixed your situation for you. So while you were wasting that time trying to figure out how you were gonna work it out, God had already worked it out. Am I talking to anybody in the house before I really get started here? Listen, he says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. There are some things that we don't know that are up ahead, that would take us off course, that would detour us, that would cause us to miss our destiny. All right. But the only reason why we don't miss it is because God straightens out the crooked places. See, there sometimes, have you ever gone to a place and some foolish folk have turned the signs? And therefore, you reading the sign think it says go this way when somebody has taken the sign and turned it the other way and put you on the wrong road. God will go before you, and everywhere the road is crooked, the signs are turned, things are twisted, he'll make them right for your time to pass. He may leave it wrong for everybody else, but for you, he straightens out the crooked places. Then he says, listen at this. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now these gates were so massive, mind you, they were made of brass on the outside. They were very shiny gates. They were intimidating gates. And then behind the gates, there were great big old bars that slid in cylinders that locked the gate with three cylinders. They were so powerful that you couldn't ram the gate and open up the gate. You couldn't overpower and overthrow the gate. It's because the gate was so strong, because the people were so powerful behind it, that if anybody tried to attempt to overtake them, they would be defeated at the gates. But God said, will break in pieces the gates of brass. Listen, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Look at how God makes something that's impossible to man seem so very easy for himself. Here he's on the way, thinking in my mind. Now when I get there, I'm going to have to open up these. I got to get past the gates first. And so many times when we think about our problems and our issues, and how am I going to get this, I can't even get past first gate to even get into the city. My first strategy is to figure out how am I going to take down the gates. But all he has to do is go. And what an amazement when the gates he's seen before are now broken and crumbled into pieces. And he's wondering, my God, what power could have taken my enemy's gate down like this? Listen, he continues on. He says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and riches, hidden riches of secret places. Verse 3 now makes it clear that he has promised prosperity. He has prescribed protection in verse 2. He's making clear that what he has done as a prophecy, he has preferred a pagan king to do the work of the godly king who was not in place because of Israel's sin, and still make him deliver his people, bless his people, and put his people in position to be restored. Listen, it's all for God's glory. Now, if you're not shouting yet, if you have not equated this situation to something that's going on in your life to see how God himself can work out your situation for you today while you're still worrying about tomorrow, God says, listen, just focus on getting out of the day. I've got tomorrow covered. Just focus on praising me. Just focus on keeping your mind together. Just focus on keeping your mind stayed on me, and I'll keep you in perfect peace. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't borrow from tomorrow. Just hold on and make it through the day. Everything is going to be all right. While you're worrying about how this is going to happen, how the other is going to happen, I got news for you. I'm already working on your tomorrow's today. You remember when Mary and them went to the tomb and wanted to know who will roll away the stone? Don't worry about who gonna roll away the stone. Just get to the grave. When they got to the grave, they found out that the stone had already been rolled away. So many of us miss our blessings wondering how we gonna do it. When we figure out we can't do it, we accept defeat. You go in the name of the Lord and watch him work out what you cannot. Watch him do what you cannot do. When you show up, you'll find out he's already been on the scene. He's already talked to them hellions. He's already messed with those who were messing with you. Verse 3 says, listen, I really want to bless my people. So I'm going to give them, by way of you, the treasures of darkness. Listen at this now. Now, these are very, powerful and precious images for the believer to understand. Treasures of darkness means many things, but here are some of the most important things that it means. It literally means treasures that have been taken by those it didn't belong to. It literally means that he is going to take from those who took from others what didn't belong to them. Listen, notice he said treasures of darkness. He didn't say the treasure of darkness, because that would have been one, but everywhere they got it stacked and stored. He's going to give it to, see, our problem is we're just satisfied with deliverance. And deliverance is wonderful, but if you're delivered and ain't got nothing, then you're still broken in bondage. So when God sets you free, when God delivers you, he wants you to look delivered. He wants you to act delivered. He wants you to live delivered. He wants you to have some stuff. Ain't nothing big about talking about, ooh, I'm free. Don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight, but I'm free. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just glad to be alive. Hungry is all get out. I ain't got nothing to eat. All of that doesn't glorify God. Listen, God don't have work things out. He works it out the way it ought to be worked out. So now he says, I'll give you the treasures of darkness. And wait, he's not through.
That's right. That
just begins the provisions. But then he says, and hidden riches, listen now, of secret places. Now we're talking about the more precious and more expensive. And you know, the diamonds and all of the riches, golds and all of those things that the kings hid,
yes, sir,
buried, put away for safekeeping, put away in case there was an invasion, a takeover, that the people still wouldn't get their stuff because they wouldn't know where to find it. But God says, when you think you're blessed, I've got more where that comes from. See, a lot of you not expecting your stuff and more than enough of it. You might have had deliverance, but you're not looking. Look, you're not looking for your possessions. You're not looking for your blessings that come with your deliverance. Listen now, he says, and I love this part, because when he says, and hidden riches, that's even more special and precious than the treasures of darkness. When he talks about that, he's talking about the best of the best.
Yes.
The creme de la creme. He's talking about their most prized possessions that they valued enough to hide. Well, let me put it in modern day language again. What I love about the Lord is when he delivers you, somebody say, when he delivers you, he sets you up for a blessing.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's LOBDELL Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to Inspire, inspiring the world through the Word of God. And now, the host of Inspire, Pastor Philip R. Taylor.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inspire. We're so happy to be here with you and so glad that you've taken this opportunity to share some of your time with us, that we may share the Word of God with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you once again for another opportunity to be in the midst, and that we're able to come and that we may be able to share that which you have shared with us. We ask you, dear Father God, that a ear may hear and a heart may receive and a soul may be saved. And that you, dear Father God, would be glorified in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a wonderful thing to be able to come and share with you. Over the past few weeks, I've been under the weather, as they would say. But God has blessed me to be back with you, that we may come and share with you the Word of God. I take it very serious that. And I believe that there is a great need for it. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about how God cares for you. On last Sunday, we looked into this scripture and we preached on this scripture, and God just put on my heart to share it with you today as well. 1 Peter 5:7-10-11 read as this: casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But may the God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while,